What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a bunch of weekly columns for a bunch of internet places, and I would use those columns to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then I would come on this show to defend those opinions. But now, my mouth hurts. Joining me today, he is a fantastic comedian who you know from having had a podcast on this network at one point called Blink and Review. He also hosts a live comedy show called Avatar 2 that you can go see until James Cameron sues him for that shit. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Anderson. Also joining me, speaking of fantastic comedians, our next guest, she has a show Wednesday night. I also have a show Wednesday night, so I think you know what you need to do. You can see me anytime. Go see her instead. Ladies and gentlemen, Katrina Davis. It's going to be a great show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. Joining me as co-host this week, my favorite co-host of all, no co-host, but I do have a couple of guests. Case in point, Kevin Anderson's here.
Hey, oh, shit.
All right.
I'm trying out a new guy. I'm trying out a new character right now. I was like, hey, what's going on, Adam? Are we going to talk about the news?
Took the words right out of my mouth. That's how I was going to introduce Kevin. Also here, Katrina Davis.
Hello. Thank you for putting me on with Kevin Dice Clay. So happy to be here.
Hickory dickory dod. I'm going to do a podcast with Todd. Oh.
What?
I don't know. I called you Todd for some reason.
I thought you called me God for a second. Jesus, Kevin.
I was like, is his name Adam Todd? He tricked me for a second. I was like, wait a minute.
My cat literally just pressed stuff on my mixing board. Did anything get fucked up? He just ran over and just put her hand right on it.
No.
Ogre kitty.
I saw the aftermath of that cat getting yelled at.
Nothing to do except run up there and touch it. Sorry about that.
So everyone listening to this podcast knows Kevin. He had a podcast on the network for a long time. He's been on the show a bunch. Katrina, I don't know if you've ever been on this podcast.
No.
You were
I don't
on
think so.
Pretty Scary recently. We talked about the Glee documentary, which is a real fucking shit show.
Yes.
Thank you for doing Unpopular Opinion. It's good to finally have you on.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
And if you've listened to like other Unpops people's podcasts, you've heard Katrina before. I'm sure you were on Kevin's podcast, right?
She played a teenage werewolf once on our show.
I've definitely been on Kevin's podcast a couple of times.
So this week, we're doing an episode that I have decided to call Guns, Money, and Drugs.
Ooh.
Because here's the thing.
Pew, pew, pew. Ow, my leg.
Katrina shot herself.
Classic.
Because we're just covering a bunch of news stories, because I know people listening to this already know this, but just an update. I had surgery on my fucking face, and boy, does that make doing really in-depth research difficult. So I'm still at the just kind of able to scan news headlines point in my recovery, and I didn't want to do another international news episode or another local news episode. We do those all the time. So we're going with a theme. Guns, money, and drugs. America's favorite things.
That sounds like an episode of Dallas.
It's really close to a Warren Zevon song. We just left lawyers out. That's the only problem.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Lawyers, guns, and money, and then parentheses drugs. I think it's in there too.
So first, we're talking about some gun stories. This first one is a doozy. Happened in Colerain Township, Ohio. Anyone ever been?
That shit's lit.
Five favorite hotspots in Colerain Township. Go.
Denny's.
The other Denny's.
Waffle House.
It sounds like they talk about getting a Denny's.
Oh, the Denny's is under construction. It's like that Target on Sunset that was never finished forever. It's like,
we're going to get one.
It's coming.
Yeah, I lived in Sioux Falls, South Dakota for a long time, and they got shockingly deep into the 2000s without a Starbucks. I remember when they got their first one, it was like, holy shit, it's a real city now.
There goes the neighborhood.
Just like some teen girl's dream, like, I'm going to get a Frappuccino one day and get out of this town.
I'm going to get a mocha cookie crumble and I'm going to sing.
And they're going to pay my tuition. No, they're not. They're not going to let you work 40 hours a week, you fool.
She's got that Starbucks scholarship.
Yeah. So... this happened, the incident we're talking about, at a Quaker Steak and Lube. Again, anyone ever been?
I have lots of questions about that.
Me too.
Can you get a steak and an oil change?
Exactly.
It's a weird place. I've been there. There's one in the town near where my mom was born. She was born in Edgerton, Wisconsin. Janesville, Wisconsin has a Quaker Steak and Lube. And... very confusingly, it is a wing place.
Yeah, I just looked it up. I was like, did I spell this wrong? Because it says Quaker Steak and Lube, best wings in the USA.
Yes. What is going on?
There's buckets of chicken in the Google image search. This is psychotic.
It is. And I tried to Google Coltrane and you can't. It's like, did you mean another township in Ohio?
Because did you mean someplace that doesn't suck?
It brings up like other townships and where Coltrane was born. Like, it's like, you can't mean, this can't be what you mean. It's too small. Like,
I tried to Google it and I can't.
Here's
it's blacked out.
Quaker Steak and Lube does have very good wings. They just, I don't think they have steak in any form.
Do they have Quakers or lube?
Quaker oats.
The other confusing thing, there's an oil brand, I believe it is, called Quaker State. And the logo for the oil brand and the restaurant, I believe, are like almost identical.
That's what I'm saying. Is this like the one Winchell's? In Santa Monica, where the W's upside down and it's Michelle's, that I think someone won in a divorce. Like, because I feel like they're connected and they were just like, we'll keep the sign up and just sell great wings. They'll figure it out.
They have to be related in some way. And also, that
I found a steak there. I just sent you guys the link. There is a steak. They do have like a sizzler looking ass steak.
And
for
there's
sure.
so many of them. I didn't think this would be such a large chain to have like unified colors of buildings. Like,
yeah, they got a color scheme. They got
Quaker
a
Steak and Lube.
Yeah, it's
God bless them.
It's a real place. Their wings are good.
I'm already on board. If someone has good wings, I'm in.
Yeah,
I would eat there in a second.
It is a tasty place to eat, which probably explains what happened.
Yes.
Here's what happened at the Quaker Steak and Lube in Coleraine Township, Ohio. Telemon Pop sent you if you go. A 23-year-old man named Benjamin Hardwick fired a .357 revolver inside a bathroom at the Quaker Steak and Lube in Coleraine Township, Ohio. Probably happens all the time. But in this instance, the bullet grazed an 83-year-old man who was seated in a booth outside the restroom with his daughter. And after this incident, the guy was arrested and apprehended and everything. And after the incident, paramedics arrived on the scene. And while they're talking to the man who got shot, he starts looking around for his server and is like, can I order some food at least? Like, I'm at a restaurant for a reason. And sure
enough, is my big night out.
You thought I was hungry before.
Yeah. I'm losing blood.
What a last meal.
I need iron quick.
Lube me up.
Well, and the guy in the bathroom, Hardwick, he was there filming his after show talking lube, right? That was what he was there doing.
That's the township podcast. Yeah. You go in the bathroom at the
he gets really excited and talks about what the meal you just had. He's like, oh my God. Did you guys see that there was chicken?
Did you
it was crazy.
Steak?
What do you think's gonna happen next week?
Did you have the steak? I thought maybe he was trying to like take his pants off to go to the bathroom and his gun went off by accident.
Probably.
Before I read the rest of the article. Yes. But...
seems like he just got mad and fired.
Yes. This is a bathroom hit. It sounded like he was like trying to possibly, because he had like a bunch of other stuff on him. Like he was like, yeah, ready to go.
He was mad about how his shit was going. He's just like, God, this is terrible. It starts firing off.
You ever shit so hard you fire off around?
Just pop one off real quick.
That's a fun detail of my surgery recovery. For about a week or two after, it hurt every time I shit.
Oh, no.
Because, I mean, provided
you're using your whole body.
Yeah, like provided you're not on the verge right now, go ahead and go through the motions. Try to squeeze one out. Focus on your jaw muscles. You'll see.
That's true.
Can't do it without engaging your jaw.
That's true.
Oof. Yeah, yeah. When they
what a hell.
When they arrested this guy, Benjamin Hardwick, he was carrying a Ruger GP100 357 Magnum, a Glock 43X, two full 15-round magazines, seven pocket knives, and a pen with a window breaker on it. That's too much stuff.
Isn't that? Well, also seven pocket knives. How you have so many knives and all of them are that small?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
just a whole bunch of like, I could open so many cans.
What I imagine is, so as a smoker, I constantly don't know if I have a lighter on me or not. So I'll grab one and I'm like, oh, I have three lighters on me because I didn't know if I had one. So I just have them in all my pockets. He's like that with knives. He's just like, I got to make sure I have one knife when I go out. I can find it right away. So let's put a couple more in my.
And I do imagine him wearing pants that have multiple tactical pockets. So he just reaches in a cargo and he's like, there's four other pocket knives in here. I'm so silly.
Boy.
I'm always fascinated by people who just carry knives. Like,
you gotta have it.
I get yelled at for not carrying one. Me? But also need a knife around the person that always carries a knife. Yeah. I'm surprised. And only it's been a girl a couple times, but it's normally someone where you would be able to see their dick shoot through the zipper of their pants. They're so excited that someone finally needs the knife that they've been carrying around every day.
Oh, I came prepared with my tools. Yes, don't worry. I'm so a real
good.
Man.
It feels so good for someone to need the knife you have.
I went to AlienCon last week in Pasadena.
Ooh.
With Olivia Hydar, who is my co-host on the Conspiracy the Show podcast.
Nice.
And we got right up to security, and Olivia goes, fuck, I have a knife.
Uh-huh.
And we had to walk.
Go back to the car.
All the way back to the car, because Olivia had not one knife, but two knives.
Yes,
There was the
That's what's up, girl.
The pocket knife, which I'm assuming is for work stuff, you know, tasks and things. And right. Then just a fucking knife.
And then just like a Bowie
for fucking knife reasons.
I said Bowie, like it's in the water.
It's a spooky knife. It's a Bowie knife. John Fay, he did that same thing at fucking 7 a.m. at Disneyland. We were going there. He's on mushrooms at 7 a.m. and we're about to go through security. He's like, oh, shit. And he's wearing a shirt that just says suicide on it.
And none he's of like, this oh. sounds like John Fay at all.
That is so
And he goes, oh, fuck,
funny.
I have a knife. So he just throws it in the trash and we just go.
He just threw it. But also, what a G. I got knife money like that. I'm just throwing knives away at entrances.
Yeah, it's not like he was throwing away, what was it, a pen with a window breaker on it?
Yeah, that's why I thought he had it out for someone in this. What's it? Quaker Steak and Lube?
How could you forget?
Well, I almost said Quaker State. Like it was insurance. Like,
Quaker State. Yeah, we're insurance and an oil change place.
Making a lot of establishments.
Here's the thing. Quaker State is oil. It sounds like insurance, but Quaker State is an actual oil brand that has the same logo as Quaker Steak and Lube.
That's so crazy.
There's at least a partnership that dissolved. Like, yeah. There's something going on.
You get the chicken, I'll take the rest.
It's a weird team up. It's like,
Kevin, this is a business divorce.
Yeah,
but they both loved the name. They were like, I'm not getting rid of it. Green's my favorite color.
And yeah, they're like, look, we made some good decisions in this marriage, okay? Yes. I'm not going to throw it all away.
Exactly. It won't diminish either of our brands.
So here's a quote from the Quaker Steak and Lube restaurant manager, Jacob Greer. I know he'd be heartbroken if we didn't get him mentioned.
Oh, shout
here.
Out for sure.
Here goes.
Who may have had a hit out on him. Look what?
He said, can I order some food? We told him you can have the whole restaurant at this point. Whatever you want, it's on us. He ordered some tenders with pretzels and coleslaw. His daughter was with him. They got some chocolate milkshakes on the house. Okay, Jacob, did you give him his food for free or just the milkshakes?
That's what I was wondering, too.
And is this a policy? Is this a anytime you get shot in our restaurant, is it on the house?
Your meal is free. Just it's like just an old man with a patched up ear with this stub in the air. Like,
it's like if you eat this whole 72-ounce steak, your meal is free. But it's if you survive a shooting in our restaurant.
But also, that order sounds like he had lost a lot of blood. Tenders, fries, and pretzels. Wait, pretzels. Pretzels, not fries. That's why. Tenders, pretzels, and coleslaw. What kind of fever dream order is that?
Yeah, that's kind of psychotic.
Yeah.
Especially the pretzels part. Like, I'm imagining they must be like a little like novelty side dish type of pretzel, and as opposed
to
like a
soft pretzel. They better be warm. Yeah. Yes, they better be warm. If it is a bowl of rolled gold, I'm going to lose my mind if this old man is just like, I like pretzels.
Yeah, I don't know. I come down to the Quaker Steak and Lube. I get my chicken tendies and my dry pretzels and my coleslaw.
What kind of Depression era meal is that? Oh my gosh.
God, old people do eat weird. Like, right? I used to work at a Steak and Shake, which is distant cousin to the Quaker Steak and Lube. And I tell you what old people love to order. Hamburger, plain with only onions, cup of black coffee. That's a fucking Depression era meal right there.
Coffee and a burger?
Yeah, yeah.
What time is it?
Loose onions.
I don't even know what time it is when you're ordering that. Is it breakfast or dinner? What's even happening?
I feel like you haven't seen the sun in a long time if you're ordering that. I don't know why, but there's a reason.
Well, it's so funny because I grew up, and when I was in high school, we got a Steak and Shake, and it just was like blew up the town. And there's nothing more indicative of the circle of life than a Steak and Shake. It is just like the youngest people and the oldest people, just like the most hopeful, carless, ignorant children. And then just like 1,000-year-old people who could not care less, like mashed together.
Yeah, my first job that wasn't a paper route or telemarketing was a Steak and Shake drive-through, and I hated it. I fucking hated it. They made me work 5 p.m. to 3 a.m. every weekend. I don't know if that's even legal.
I don't think it is.
I was like 15. It doesn't sound right in retrospect.
That is why they gave you. I worked when I was 15. That's why they hire you when you're 15, because they're like, they don't know this is illegal.
Yeah. I was child labor at a Steak and Shake.
They don't know their rights. Put them out there.
All right. Good God. Let's talk about another gun story. This out of Wisconsin. Republicans have released a bill that would create an official rifle of Wisconsin, which it sounds strange, but apparently that would make them the 10th state to name an official rifle. I don't have them listed here, but let's just assume it's like the South.
Yeah.
Probably Oklahoma.
I'm sure Kentucky is one of them.
Yeah.
An official state. And why specifically, I guess, rifle for hunting, but like of all, like even for it to be a gun and then it.
No, it's for freedom. It's not for hunting. It's for freedom. Okay.
Are rifles only for freedom?
That's all they are now. Because when you want to actually kill something, you get an AR-15. You don't get like a hunting rifle. So those are just to say, like, look, these are the guns we want to hunt with. So we should be able to have all of them at all times.
Oh my goodness.
And I should mention, we talked about this a couple weeks ago on the show. This comes hot on the heels of newly elected and freshly disgraced Congressman George Santos.
Oh, yeah.
If that is his real name, even.
If we are to believe that is his name.
He is a co-sponsor of a bill to make the AR-15 the national gun of the United States.
Read the room.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. He did read the room, and he's like, this is the time to do it.
Yeah, this is the time to do it. America's ready to laugh again.
Oh, my. I mean, why would we need...
I mean, all of this is, yeah, like, it's tough. When I was reading this, as I was skimming this before the podcast, like, I think I'm going to just start yelling during this one. So I'm going to just sit down and be quiet. Yeah.
In this case, the gun in question would be the Wisconsin manufactured Henry All-Weather 4570, which I... Are there guns that can only be used in some weather?
Yeah. Come rain, sleet, or snow, you'll still be able to shoot anybody in it when it rains.
Oh, the post office of fucking rifles. I mean, oh my
it's God. Also the place that makes it is in a place called Rice Lake.
Henry Repeating Arms, maker of the gun. They're headquartered in Rice Lake, Wisconsin. It's expected that Tony Evers, the somehow Democrat governor of Wisconsin, will not sign this bill into law. Because
I'll say this.
Frivolous and psychotic.
I was just about to say it just seems like unnecessary, and I like what? Like, we have so many other things for anyone to be drawing up paperwork on.
But that was somebody's like brainchild. They were like, all right, guys, I know there's a lot, but here's really like, well, you gotta.
And then like, are you going to have a golden version of it? Like hang up where I go pay my parking tickets. Like that's where stuff like this ends up anyway. So it's like, how would this manifest itself? I guess would be my question.
I mean, hopefully
why does it matter? Because I don't
right.
Hopefully they put it on the flag. Like that always makes for a bitchin' flag when you got a gun on it.
Oh my God. Well, that's like, it's just, the flags are just t-shirts now. Cause they already do that. Like they already make the stars and bars a gun. There's just also like a basket of puppies in front of it. Well, and like
the back of their truck windshield for sure. Yeah, the back of like, the truck windshield.
This is a decal. Like, if the next year they're going to just make a new bill to add Calvin peeing on the word liberals and just add it.
No, Calvin peeing on a dead child that got shot in the head. Is Calvin's pissing on it?
Just like his seeping.
Dick's an AR-15 though.
Yeah. He's jacked. Full hard gun dick. I think we just made some new Unpops merch. Holy shit.
I think we did, yeah.
Calvin with a gun dick.
Wisconsin
is... Oh my gosh, because his back is turning and the pee stream is just bullets.
Yeah, he's just shooting up a devilish look. He's shooting up a steak and lube. He's shooting up a steak and lube for sure.
Which you could do in Wisconsin. They have one.
Oh my God. You're allowed,
and your meal would be free.
But that is the angle that would shoot an old man sitting down in a booth. Is if you were shooting at the angle that Calvin would have. Oh my gosh, it all adds up.
Yeah, Wisconsin's an interesting place. We did an episode about it a few months ago because they are essentially trying to become Texas. Like every crazy, like anti-immigration, anti-abortion, any bill Texas pushes, Wisconsin's government tries to push it too.
Oh.
And the weird thing is, it's a pretty liberal state. Like they have a long union history. Like they tend to vote Democrat. The governor's a Democrat. But a few years ago, they just like elected a bunch of Tea Party types and have been suffering the repercussions of that ever since.
Yeah.
And so you get stuff like this where the government of Wisconsin is like, hey, we should have a state gun. Meanwhile, there was a poll not that long ago, and we brought this up on the Wisconsin episode, something like 80% of voters in Wisconsin support like stricter gun regulations and just less guns in general. But when you base it on the actions of the government,
state rifles.
Yeah. When you base your opinion on just the government and the bills that get presented, you're going to be like, man, Wisconsin is fucking redneck hellhole.
Yeah.
And it's really not. The people and the government are not on the same page, but somehow these motherfuckers keep getting reelected, and it's because of gerrymandering.
Right. Yes.
Mm.
But so, I think the state gun is really going to bring everybody together, though. I think that's going to be a big unifying thing.
One nation under gun.
under the Henry All-Weather 4570.
Shout out to you, Henry All-Weather.
Yeah, Henry All-Weather.
I mean, I get it. Metal can expand and contract, but I just don't think that it needs to be acknowledged on a state level.
Oh, God.
All right. One more gun story.
Let's go.
Texas.
One more round. I'm so sorry.
Oh, hey. Let's give this story a shot. Texas wants to build basically an anti-immigration vigilante squad.
Oh, my gosh. I was just reading this and being like, oh, but the Black Panthers were scary? Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
They were feeding kids and shit, but okay. Like, man, that sounds terrifying.
The United States hates when people feed kids, and I'm not fucking joking.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, let a Latin American country start feeding poor kids. We're going to be
make
like, your elections
stronger,
are...
And then they can read.
Yeah. We're going to be like, your elections are corrupt and we're invading.
What did Ben Shapiro say recently? He said, food isn't going to solve the starving kids problem.
Did he say that?
He said something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing, but he was like, getting kids lunch isn't going to fix the hunger problem. I was like, why doesn't that guy fucking fall in front of a bus today?
What an insane thing to say.
Yeah.
Feeding kids isn't going to make them not hungry.
Yeah.
It's literally going to do that.
There's a lot of factors at play that you're not thinking about.
Yeah, that is scientifically how that happens. So Texas Republicans, they're pushing a bill that their Democratic counterparts are calling the Show Me Your Papers law.
Ugh.
House Bill 20 would create a state border police force called the Border Protection Unit. It would be made up of licensed state or local law enforcement officers. So I guess that's good. As well as... And this is a quote, law-abiding citizens without a felony conviction.
Cool.
Oh, no. No, I don't like that.
Why does law-abiding also, like, is that same thing of, like, God-fearing, where it's supposed to be, like, wholesome, and it scares the shit out of me when I hear
somebody
say it.
I was about to say, you know who else that describes? George Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Like, what? No. Oh, we don't need to start taking house calls this.
Just a row of Zimmermans.
Yeah, like, we don't need to make the National Guard more easily accessible. Like,
and knowing if we had all these Zimmermans, they're going to follow people into Mexico to kill them. Like, they're not even going to be on our property.
Kevin!
Yeesh.
You got me fucked up. Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah, this is bad times. The law-abiding citizens, on the bright side, they wouldn't have the authority to arrest anyone, but they can be given that authority by the governor at pretty much any moment.
And it doesn't matter if you have to arrest someone if they're dead.
Yeah.
This is all people do to brown people where I'm from. Like, it doesn't matter if they can't do an arrest. You won't breathe long enough for it to matter.
Right.
What? Well,
they're only allowed to use non-deadly force. So
small guns.
I trust that puts your concerns
Derringers only.
Yeah.
But wait, because what
little
is not
girly
lethal?
Guns.
Well, like, is someone going to be around to like make sure that windpipes aren't crushed? What are we?
Well, yeah, that's exactly the thing. Non-deadly meaning what? You're going to tase them instead of shoot them? That fucking kills people.
Well, and all what you guys are all forgetting is that they're only going to be employing law-abiding citizens, so it's going to be fine.
You're right. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
they're going to be wholesome. They're going to be there. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be enforcing the stern but fair arm of the law, and it's going to be very chill.
It's so funny because I'm technically law-abiding, and I would never describe myself that
way.
No, absolutely not. Same here. They would also, and this part's great, have immunity from criminal and civil liability and would also be responsible for overseeing the construction and maintenance of walls and fences and other barriers along the southern border. So that's cool. It's cool that, you know, they won't have any oversight or any ramifications for anything.
It sounds like
they
worse
do
than cops.
The most terrifying.
Oh, it's bad times.
God.
Yeah.
It's worse than cops.
This is a quote from Texas Democratic Party Chairman Gilberto Hinojosa. HB 20 is an egregious assault on our basic civil liberties and our core values as a nation of immigrants. As we have seen in past iterations of this racist, fear-mongering concept, Show Me Your Papers laws only stand to inflict constant anxiety and mental trauma upon all people who even look like they could be undocumented immigrants, whatever that means, end quote. And he's right. That's exactly what this will be.
But counterpoint, God loves white Americans. How do you even fucking argue this shit? It's so insane.
It isn't. I mean, I feel like the only way you could counter it is if you believe in the same things that they believe in. That's the only way it makes sense, is if you believe in the rhetoric that, like, they're our quote unquote border is under attack or whatever it is. That's the only way that this does not sound terrifying or at the very least unnecessary and untrained. Like, again, they have commercials specifically so that we have, like, better trained at home alcoholics with jobs they hate to, like, jump into action if this was actually real and necessary. Like, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
What? Why is this a thing? Like, we already planned for this legitimately. Why are we just, like, taking volunteers?
And there's already a border patrol. Like, we have Customs and Border Patrol. It's in their name. They patrol the border.
Did they need help?
Yeah, I don't think they do.
I thought they had it. Like, I'm pretty sure that those kids are still in cages not being fed. Like,
yeah, we've seen the videos. They're whipping people while riding horses.
They're doing a great job of creating the next generation that will go to war with us. I don't think we need to speed this process up anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like one rugby team fell apart and they're all like, we need a new activity. So I guess our new male thing is we're going to just go fucking shoot people at the border.
Yeah.
Like, where would these people sign up? There's no list. Like, what? I've heard so little in organization.
I guarantee you it's a fucking Google Doc. It's
probably
it is 3 questions in a Google Doc. Are you mad? Yes. Yeah.
Jerry doesn't know how it worked. He posted his to Facebook. Can somebody just copy and paste his information into the doc?
What militia go? Siri, delete twad.
Yeah, the only hope here is, like, when Arizona tried to do a similar thing and the Supreme Court eventually shot it down.
Okay.
But that was your grandfather's Supreme Court. Now we're talking fucking modern day Trump loving Supreme Court. I don't know.
This is nuts.
And it would actually be a little more alarming than you even think if the Supreme Court did decide to not act in this case, because traditionally federal law is what rules the land when it comes to immigration. And we don't really let the states decide mm-hmm. how to handle it on their own. Mm-hmm. If the Supreme Court goes the other way and is like, yeah, Texas can do this, that is going to open the floodgates to some really unfortunate
shit. We're just going to have to start picking where people want to secede to if they do that, because they're straight, like, people are going to straight just being like, you know what? I don't really like the state next to me that much. Fuck them. Pick a side. That seriously was I was thinking about that the other day because I was reading something and somebody was talking about, like, a particular state. And I was like, the more stuff I read, the more I almost am like, yeah, there's too many people. We can't agree on anything. If it was more affordable to move and the people that hate me wouldn't ultimately encroach on, like, if we actually would just be like, okay, all the people that hate me stay over there and hate me and you can have your own crops and whatever, then, like, I almost do kind of agree with, like, freaking starting new countries shit. Like, fuck it. This is crazy.
It is getting to that point. And you're right. Like, the argument is always, well, that you don't want to abandon the people who think like us and make them stay there.
Right.
Like, no, you put a grace period in where people can just fucking move if they want, maybe even have the government pay for it.
And we all close our eyes for like 2 weeks and just reshuffle the whole country.
Yes. There was like not musical chairs, but you used to play a game like that when it was rainy outside and you would get like a countdown until you had to sit down in a new seat. And it was like, this is where I'm at, where we don't hate queers. And it would be like, cool, let's do it.
Our biggest enemy isn't a fucking drag queen for some reason.
But no, but I don't believe in that either, because there's an old documentary of a guy who was like a KKK member who moved up to Iowa somewhere where it was already just all white people.
Moving on up.
But all of the white people were like, we don't want this here. This guy's terrifying. And he was like, there was still, you know, disagreements where he was still, you know, freaking out people that looked like he thought everyone should look. So it's like, right. Oh my God. Yeah. But yeah, I don't even know what to do anymore. Cause if shit either. Like this, if shit like this goes down, like you said, if they're okay with this at the top, then like Mother Mary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move into the money section of this episode.
Yes. But,
this is kind of a hybrid.
Yeah. This first story, it's about guns and money both. The Rust shooting. Everyone remembers that. Alec Baldwin shot a lady.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she died.
And if you didn't remember it, a real quick interjection. He posted on his Instagram 1 year to the day. Wow, 1 year. Like he's celebrating like an anniversary. I swear, I screenshot it. I was trying to find it during that last segment because I wanted to show you guys. But he did post it. I was just like, read the room. Oh, remember a year ago when I killed the director?
Oh, yeah, that's my weird. God.
It was really, he was like, wow, 1 year, time flies.
He did not say that.
I don't think he said time flies. But
and
he
then
said
he linked
shit.
Vitamin C's graduation. What?
Time flies when you're having guns.
So, do you remember when I shot her?
So something that never occurred to me, even after the Rust shooting happened, is why don't film sets just use fake guns? Like, why are we still putting fake bullets in real guns and like hoping we get that right every time?
Like, there's nothing we found that makes a, like, we've all been to a fireworks show. There's nothing loud as a gun than yeah. like a real gun with fake stuff in it. Like, you cannot make a fake gun that would sound
a
like
car
a gun.
Backfiring.
Yeah. Anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Like just go in a room and fire it once and record the noise.
Yeah. Yeah. Foley artists.
And it seems like the answer to the question of why they don't just use fake guns is money, obviously.
Really?
That is according to Chad Stahelski, who is the director of the John Wick franchise.
Yeah.
Which, oh, new John Wick coming out
very
later
good.
This month.
Very good time.
Fucking love it.
My mom's new favorite franchise.
It's so good. Ooh. It's that first John Wick movie is one of the most surprising things.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I expected it to be fine, and then it made me cry. It's so fucking good.
I slept on the franchise until the second one came out, and someone was like, no, you need to be watching these movies. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
they're really fucking good. So yeah. The director of the John Wick franchise, he is also a former stuntman. One of his first jobs was standing in for Brandon Lee on the set of The Crow. Ooh.
Check, please.
Whoops. So he knows a thing or two about real guns versus fake guns.
Yeah.
Just in case any kids listening don't know, Brandon Lee was the son of Bruce Lee, who is a very famous martial artist and actor. And Brandon Lee, his son, was also an actor, and he was killed on the set of the movie The Crow because someone put real bullets in a real gun when they were
Alec
supposed to
Alec Baldwin came to set that day.
Yeah, weird. It was Alec Baldwin then, too.
Every time.
I've got this.
I've got this.
And they finished the movie by having this guy, Chad Stahelski, was Brandon Lee's
for the rest of it.
Body double. So yeah, he knows a thing or two about this. He said in an interview with The Hollywood Reporter that any accidents he'd ever been a part of, if you know what he means, wink, wink, because he didn't mention Brandon Lee specifically, were always because of human error as opposed to a mechanical failure with the weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's getting at is guns work. Like guns, usually you put a bullet in a gun and fire.
It's going to fire.
It's going to shoot, whether you put blanks in it or real blanks. And it's worth noting, don't like get on TikTok and think you're going to be funny and like shoot yourself with a gun loaded with blanks. You'll die. Like yeah. That will kill you. The impact of just the air coming out of
right.
the gun is enough mm-hmm. to shatter your skull. It happened to a soap opera actor in the 80s, a guy named John Eric yeah. Hexum. He was fucking around with a starter pistol and put it to his head and pulled the trigger, and it killed him.
Oh my God.
Just a rule of thumb. Don't put gun like things near your head in general.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep guns away from your head.
Well, just like the director said, it's like the gun's gonna gun. It's your hands that get weird. Yeah. Like you're the variable.
Look, if you're gonna have a gun near your head, make sure there's a bunch of law-abiding citizens around that have a clean, no felony record.
They're clean, law-abiding hands.
Yeah.
I do remember in Bruges, Colin Farrell blind somebody with a blank by putting it up right to his face, but that probably would have killed him in reality.
Yeah, so even in real life, that guy's brain would have fucking exploded. So,
oh God.
In this interview, Chad Stahelski says there are lots of ways to get around using real guns. This is a quote: electronic guns, plug guns where it is impossible for anything to come out of the barrel, and total CG. And there, for the record, the John Wick franchise uses CG.
Nice. Yeah,
computer.
He's like, you can use guns. The plastic ones with the little bang flag, like literally anything.
It's we have Wabbit the
technology.
Yeah,
yeah. We can recreate Luke Skywalker in CG, but like, we gotta have real guns on set, though.
Oh, that's my gosh! Yeah, what?
Yeah. And
Hollywood's priorities are so good,
and that's exactly what it is. The only reason Hollywood has not, like, en masse switched to using fake guns. Here's a quote. It comes down to the fact that it would cost certain people a great deal of money to switch over. You don't need firearms. The alternative is just going to cost you more money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. Great. Awesome.
Because we all know Hollywood doesn't make enough money.
Yeah. No, and they're, generally like so opposed
to make one mass purchase that would not have to be made again for God ever. Knows, probably never. Exactly.
And what? They're generally so opposed to spending money too.
Yeah.
So
well, there's seven guys named Josh. We got to think about, you know,
yeah.
Like, we have to make sure all these Joshes are okay.
Oh my God. Like, but also absolutely they won't spend the money. It's like way more people died in Pintos and they could have fixed those for like 11 right. cents a car or some right. shit. And they were like, nah, well, it's like, worth it just to pay people out in court individually.
Right,
so I,
right.
they're well, like, how many actors have died over the past 20 years? 5? I'll swing that.
Just no more Alec Baldwin. We'll be fine.
Yeah. It's like the same thing the US airline industry did.
Yep.
Israel for a long time had the cabins of their planes were like fortified against people being able to get in because there were so many hijackings in right. Israel. And for the longest time, people in the U.S. were like, why don't we do that here? And they were like, you know, ticket prices will go up. And then fucking 9/11 happened. And they were like, fine, we'll make the cabins harder to get into. And it's like,
you're going to twist my arm about it.
It's like, yeah, you could have prevented something pretty huge if you had done spent the money a little earlier. But yeah, and it seems like Hollywood's still not spending that money, which is nuts. Like, you always think of Hollywood being so liberal and so anti-gun. And nope, not when it comes to making movies. We need real guns. I was going to
say, they're anti-gun, but that doesn't mean they aren't pro-money.
Correct.
Yeah.
We're so much more pro money than they are anti.
Hollywood's liberal nature is actually personified perfectly by Alec Baldwin's fake liberal ass. Like, fake liberal racist piece of shit. Like, he presents as the right thing, and that's exactly what Hollywood is also.
Got him. Fuck you, Hollywood.
Oh, and Mark Wahlberg too.
Shots fired.
Oh, how about this next story? I did not know this was a thing. Bands that play the South by Southwest Music Festival, one of the biggest music festivals in all the land, are paid $250. Motherfucker, what?
Yeah. As the band? Like the whole band?
The whole band. So, and that does not include room and board.
So if you're coming through, you're coming through with like an Arcade Fire ass horn section, you're gonna get like 12 bucks
each.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Dude, my friend went solo. That wouldn't get her out of Florida. She paid for that whole trip.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal.
I did a show at a toy store last week, and the comedians collectively made more money than a band that plays South by Southwest.
Wow, but also that was a great show. Who books that?
you've probably done it, Jeff.
Mint on card.
Aww, I love Mint on Card.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah, and that's
right though.
I think we made like like, and just from like audience donations,
right.
I think it was like $260.
That's amazing.
So like 250, and you have
to
travel.
Yeah, we make more than that at the Good Night too.
they don't cover your travel. They don't cover your food. You have to pay for your own place to stay. And it's
Kevin makes more at the Good Night, and the music is karaoke. This is like real original music.
Hey, I meant for my show.
No, I mean the people that are there afterwards. Yes, yes. Yeah. They're there to hear bad covers. Give you more than these people.
Yeah.
Well, like this is the thing. So like when we think about like performers in LA are always criminally underpaid, and then you think like the further you go away from LA, like this shit doesn't happen. This was a shockingly low number to me. Like I thought that it would, like, I knew it wasn't going to be like great. And then, don't even get me started on the application fee.
Yeah, there's a $55 application fee.
Cause I wasn't surprised about the pay, but then they got into the application fee and I was like, oh, fuck you.
Oh, it's a Burbank Comedy Festival. Cool.
I think I was less shocked at the beginning because I did kind of go into festival brain of like, oh, there's absolutely festivals that I love that will be like, hey, you want to come here for free? Like, you want to fly across the country? We can't really do anything, but we'd love to have you. And I'm like, sorry.
But, yeah.
And I imagine there's a lot of people thinking that way about this story right now. But what you would have to take into account, South by Southwest is owned by a huge corporation.
That is true.
They're ton of money. Whereas those comedy festivals
actually are still small. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It's like a local owned thing. And in a lot of cases, they just don't have the money.
Right. That's one thing. Like, I'm just more like, oh, love you. Would love to do it if I had the money, but I don't. But like, if South by Southwest was like, hey, we'd love for you to do 10. We're not going to give you any money to get here. You'd be like, dude,
oh, and you're going to be on like a side venue at like 3 p.m.
Yeah.
And like in a weird like donut shop.
It's like, I'll drive to like San Diego for that. I'm not going to go to South by Southwest.
No. This is a quote from Joey Leneve DeFrancesco, a New York musician and founder of the Union of Musicians and Allied Workers. Here goes. It was a low wage 10 years ago, and it's an essentially meaningless wage.
That is such a devastating line. I love that. Yep. It's meaningless.
Because that's the other thing. This $250 pay has been a thing since like the 90s or like early 2000s.
Wow.
And they just have not increased it. And the argument has always been, well, you're doing it for the exposure. And it's like,
yeah, just like they do. Yeah. A lot of artists.
Yeah. And like, I can buy that argument from the Super Bowl, for example. The Super Bowl very famously does not pay the artist who performs at halftime.
Right.
But they finance the entire production, including dancers, musicians, whoever you bring with you. The NFL pays all of them. But like Rihanna did not get paid for the Super Bowl, but also the NFL essentially financed like the most elaborate pregnancy announcement of
that
all
is
time.
True.
Yes, and also in Rihanna specifically, but most of the other people either have an album or whatever. She had Savage, all of it was her making money off of like her other brands and things like Fenty. Like, they didn't need to pay her.
Yeah, the NFL
she had the cover drop the next day. Like, like, she's fine. Like, that's
she's in
like
that echelon of
that's
performer.
Exposure.
That's a person that doesn't ever probably need to be paid again. Like,
exposure.
Like, not that she shouldn't, but she wouldn't have
she's
to.
She's making it, right? She's making her own money.
And we always hear about how expensive Super Bowl commercials are. Like, to run a commercial during the Super Bowl. And that's essentially like a commercial for Rihanna or a commercial for The Weeknd who did it last year. Like, that's great for them. Like, in that case, I get it. I get working for exposure. This? No.
Exposure is like sharing one photo with their logo in the corner. Like, unless they post you and you collab and they have like footage of you performing, that does not count as exposure to me. Like, we're way past like, in terms of how vast social media is and how constant people are on there, for you to try to blow smoke up an artist's ass that's on these channels every day trying to get to a K or whatever it is that you need to even be seen.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, because it's not even like us where you can say it's like a credit when people bring you up. Like, no one at a bar cares that like someone was at South by Southwest before they talk through your whole set.
Right.
Like, this isn't.
Well, all it does, bullshit. this shit opens the floodgates for all art to be only created by people who come from money. That's 100%. Anyone who's has money and is like, I'm going to do South by Southwest. I could fly my ass out there. I don't give a shit about it. They could pay me nothing because I just have money. And then, oh my God, I'm on Hulu now in 2 weeks. It's crazy because I never have to do anything.
Mm. Yeah. And then you also have the time to do the stuff that comes after. Because it's like, I can have a full day job where I can afford to get myself to weekend shows. But then, okay, cool. Someone wants me for something that's going to be like, hey, would you just take 6 weeks out of your life for me to pay you what you need to live off for like a month? And it's like, no, I'm going to say no to that because I can't because I have to go back to work. So you do have to continuously be supported in some way for that to actually do the most what they're trying to say it would do for you.
Yeah. This shit like really gets me really angry. I'm like, I also, because I looked up the article, I was trying to look at who owns South by Southwest, but I found out an actual slight addendum to this pay. So $250 for US based bands or $100 to a solo artist. So the sliding scale,
don't if you even have more than 250.
Three people, if you have three people in your band, you're essentially making less than if you were a solo performer.
Oh,
like it's fucked up. It's you only get $100 if you're a solo artist.
And
so you don't have nobody to help you pay gas on the way there.
And this comes after, I might get some of the details of this scandal wrong because I'm just now remembering it and I'm telling it off the top of my head, but a few years back, like right after Trump took office, South by Southwest did this thing where they sent notices to bands that had like members from outside the country. And they were like, hey, just a reminder, if you play shows outside of South by Southwest, then you're actually working illegally in this country and we will on you and have you deported because they didn't want people doing any
shows
like other shows. And they were right because those bands would have been here on work
trying
visas
to make money.
And they they'd be here on
trying to support getting to a new country.
Right. And they would have been here on work visas, which would have specified I'm here to do this work, which was work at South by Southwest. And South by Southwest knew, well, that's a way to keep people from doing shows outside the festival.
The audacity to be like in writing, though, to be like, oh, we're also definitely going to tell on you. Yeah. So quick heads up.
Welcome to South by Southwest. Enjoy your $250. We might deport you.
Ooh, wow.
Jesus. But hey, exposure.
And if you're a rapper, you get 100.
That's nuts. Fucking nuts.
Or 45 after your application fee.
Yeah.
It's just fuck you, poor people. That's all it is. It's just fuck you, poor people. Like everything else, like AI art, like everything. It's all fuck you, poor people, man. It's bullshit.
And hey, speaking of fuck you, poor people, let's talk about Ticketmaster. We also did an episode about them recently. One of the things we brought up is Ticketmaster's fees. Basically, if a band sets ticket prices at what Ticketmaster deems to be too low of a price point, they will just increase the ticket fees up to the point that they think tickets should be sold at. Like whatever they think the market is willing to pay for that artist, they'll put that amount of fees on top of the tickets.
Wow.
And that's what happened with Pearl Jam when they took Ticketmaster on in the 90s. They wanted to do a tour where ticket prices were capped at $20. And Ticketmaster was like, sure, we're just going to add whatever fees we want. And so in each market, Ticketmaster inflated fees to whatever they thought Pearl Jam fans would be willing to pay. And Pearl Jam sued over it. No one supported them. They fucking lost. And Ticketmaster's just been doing that continuously to this day. Like when we talked about Ticketmaster on that episode, there was a Taylor Swift fan who, the fee for like one ticket, I think was like $150. And it's like, they didn't show us what they paid for that ticket, which was probably like $5,000.
Yep.
But even then I'm like, don't fuck that rich person over like that. Fuck you, Ticketmaster.
But well, and then a lot of Taylor Swift fans, it's like, don't fuck over that mom's savings like that. Like, it's just some girl's mom giving like three Christmases worth of money. for one thank you, and you're just screwing her over that much more.
I just looked up Taylor Swift tickets for later this year at SoFi Stadium, and even the cheapest seats I could find are $360 each.
Yeah. Yeah, and those are going to be fucking nosebleeds.
Oh, yeah, which, yeah. This like, is section 407.
I paid that much to see Tyler and got a drink poured on my head while Vince Staples was on stage. Like, I didn't even, it got shitty before he even got there, and then luckily one of my friends was in a cool box seat and I got to move. But, like, nice. Yeah, that does not get you, like, a crazy good seat by any means.
No.
And so Ticketmaster's been doing this forever. All kinds of people have tried to fight them. Springsteen, Taylor Swift, Adele, some of the biggest names in music. But now it seems like they have met their match in the form of The Cure frontman Robert Smith.
The unlikely hero.
Yeah, I was about to say, he was just sad boyed him into submission.
And it is some bullshit what they did. Like, in this case, a fan tweeted a picture of his Ticketmaster fees because The Cure, for all of their shows, they had like $20 tickets, which that's shockingly cheap for a band.
That's really cheap for The Cure.
Of that stature. Yeah. Like I'd go fucking see The Cure for $20, and I'm not
right now
a Cure fan. The intros to their songs are way too long.
I was like, all of the Cure songs I like make me think of men that have dumped me, and I would still pay $20 to go see them.
And so this fan tweeted a picture of their receipt from Ticketmaster. They paid $90 in fees for $80 worth of tickets.
That's what it was.
The tickets were $20 each.
Each.
And the fees for each ticket was just a little over
$23. Wow.
Which there is no world where ticket fees should be more than the ticket.
And the fact that these fees are just nebulous ideas.
I was just going to say, what are the fees? It's like the fees to send pixels. What are you charging me for? We don't even get shit in the mail anymore. Yeah, you know?
We don't even get a blue check mark next to our tickets for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is that what one of the fees is to verify
your tickets? Yeah, to verify your Twitter.
This is so your tickets can DM at a higher rate.
Yes. Yeah, you get more visibility on your purchase.
On your tickets.
You do have to be a verified fan to buy tickets for a lot of shows now.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know how to like them enough.
Yeah, yeah.
The algorithm doesn't think I'm a big enough fan.
Yeah, there's like, I don't know what the process is, but you have to
log
on. We
know what you deserve to see.
You're going to go see Chumbawamba and you're going to like it.
Oh no, I don't listen to enough music.
I'd fuck with Chumbawamba. I'd go see
that. Hey, they got that song.
So this is a quote from Robert Smith on Twitter. After further conversation, that's a good Robert Smith I'm doing, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello. After further conversation then, Ticketmaster has agreed with us that many of the fees being charged are unduly high. And as a gesture of goodwill, have offered a $10 per ticket refund to all verified fan accounts for lowest ticket price transactions, baby.
Now that's £14 sterling for all you.
And what's crazy about that, that still means the fees for those $20 tickets are going to be like 50% of the ticket price. Because if you get $10 back, you still paid $13 in fees.
Mm-hmm.
For each ticket.
So yeah. Like
they negotiated them down to 50% of the ticket instead of almost double.
That's crazy.
For literally nothing.
Again, what are the fees for?
Oh, God.
Answer the question, Ticketmaster.
Answer the question. What is this? What is this bullshit?
They have never answered that question. People have been asking for decades.
And nobody, but like, we're still like, I don't know. We can't like regulate that at all somehow. There's
the reason it's so hard to change is because what Ticketmaster did early on and what they still do is they go out to venues and set up this arrangement where the venues get a percentage of those fees. So like low key, the venue might be like, oh yeah, man, those fees suck. It's out of our hands.
And they're cashing that fucking check afterwards. Cause that's what I was going to say is you can try to buy tickets from other places. They all go back to Ticketmaster.
Yeah. For the most part.
Yeah, Ticketmaster owns a lot of resale sites. It's
own the tickets. Yeah. Like, how do we get tickets from? Do they have a monopoly on tickets?
Seems like printing
them.
Big ticket is loving
that's
this.
That's what I was saying. Do they have like a monopoly? Like, who else can make tickets? Is this StubHub, Ticketmaster?
I think it's
StubHub.
I think
StubHub's maybe there. Yeah,
only Eventbrite, and that's just for people. Ticketmaster
doesn't
want.
And that's local shit. Yeah, that's. We need to take on Ticketmaster.
Never gonna happen. All right.
I don't know. I think we could use, if we get a well-regulated militia, we can storm them.
All right. So now we're moving into the drug section of the episode. Once again, with a sort of hybrid story to kick things off. This is about drugs and money. Ooh. And it's about Wisconsin.
Drunny.
Oh my God, Wisconsin Drunny.
Yeah, Wisconsin, returning champion. Wisconsin is among the very small minority of states that have yet to legalize cannabis in any way.
Yeah.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers has tried 3 times to propose legalizing weed, and the rest of the government of Wisconsin is mostly Republicans, so it has yet to work. Because even something like weed, which it's going to bring in tax money, like it's going to like essentially reduce crime. It's going to take stress
help people
off the police who don't have to fucking bother people over weed. Like even something as simple as that, this country is so fucking divided. It will have to be a Republican governor with a mostly Republican government to suggest it before it happens in Wisconsin.
Like, I'm intrinsically, I have to fight this because it's red, it's blue, and I'm red.
Because people will see me agreeing with someone. Yeah.
Even though it's literally, and we all know, we're all aware, we're the last state to do it. Everyone else has figured their shit out for the most part.
And to be fair, that's not, I don't know why I give a fuck about being fair, but... Democrats.
Oh, no, you should.
Certainly don't.
I mean, Democrats pull that same kind of shit.
Oh, sure. Like, that's true.
When Trump was like, hey, what if we just had free 5G internet for everyone in the country? People on the left were like, no. And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like what? You think the government's going to be monitoring it? The government's monitoring this.
They didn't
want
to give him like one thing.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't feel bad. You can talk shit about them all you want. They won't count who I want to vote for here most of the time.
So according to estimates from the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau, Illinois is reaping the benefits of Wisconsin not legalizing weed to the tune of $36 million in tax revenue so far that they've collected just from people crossing the border into Illinois to buy weed. And that isn't necessarily all Wisconsin, because they also border Iowa, where weed is not legal.
Right.
So some of that's going to be Iowa,
too.
Oh,
yeah.
But even if you just split it down the middle.
When that guy tried to be like, well, technically, I was like, okay, I'll give you that. It's still a shit ton of money.
Even if it's half, like that's that is a considerable amount of money that could be going to improve any number of things in the state, which is what tax money is for.
Better safety at Steak and Lubes.
Yeah.
You could put bulletproof glass in the bathroom of every Steak and Lube.
And pockets big enough to fit 12 knives.
You could get new wheelchairs for everyone in chronic pain in your state that also needs marijuana with that money.
This is a quote from Wisconsin Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard, who is a Democrat. It should upset every Wisconsinite that our hard-earned tax dollars are going across the border to Illinois. This is revenue that could be going toward Wisconsin's public schools, transportation infrastructure, and public safety. Instead, Illinois is reaping the benefits of Republican obstructionism and their prohibitionist stance on marijuana legislation. She's got a point.
Yeah. I mean, is that has to be the only opposition? Is like, they're like, oh, well, this is going to corrupt our kids and turn them into crackheads or something. Like,
yeah, because they love money. Yeah. There's so much money. Why would they care about the money?
Yeah.
And this is another thing I mentioned earlier, that Wisconsin's government and the Wisconsin voters are mostly never on the same page. In this case, A recent poll showed 64% of Wisconsin voters are fine with weed being legalized in whatever form the government wants to legalize it, be it recreational or medicinal. 80% of Wisconsinites support legalizing it, at least for medicinal use.
Which some would say that seems like a percentage of voters that would make it a done deal on its own.
Well, it's good that the government
put it up for a vote or something.
It's good that the government is representative of the people. It's always good. It's always
happening.
That's what almost never happens, is these things in states like this don't get on the ballot. So it seems like Wisconsin is just this super duper conservative state when it's really not. And like another example I've brought up a bunch of times, and I'll bring it up again. I believe it was 2006. South Dakota tried to like just ban abortion altogether. And it was when I lived there. And I don't know why I said like that's related. Like I was just paying for so many abortions, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I was out here getting all kinds of women pregnant.
The abortion man, they called me.
Roaming.
The government just tried to pass a law that outlawed abortion. And the people of South Dakota were like, no. You got to let us vote on that. Like they demanded it. And they managed to get it on the ballot in the next election and fucking shot it down. So like you would think just reading headlines and hearing the fucking governor talk that South Dakota is also like a super redneck state. And it is, but not everybody there is. Like enough that they voted down the abortion ban in 2006. I think it's illegal there now, obviously, but you know.
They just
gonna send Jane Fonda over there to fucking start killing people. That's my favorite little viral soundbite. The recent time she's just like, "Oh, murder! You could murder people. Like, just go kill these anti-abortion people." That was incredible.
I can see her saying that with her voluminous bob.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. You got to see the video. It's really fun. Her and Lily Tomlin sitting there going like, oh, she's making a joke. But yeah, she probably would kill these people.
I got to watch that whole interview because there's some wild ass bits of that going around. I think I know which like visually you're talking about. I saw another part.
Yeah, there was, she straight up goes, well, what else can we do besides protesting and petitioning? Jane Fonda goes, murder. Kill people.
Like, clearly not the first time she's workshopped this.
Exactly. And that's what Lily Tomlin's eyes say as she as watching her friend say, it's like, oh, I've heard her say way worse in private.
Oh my gosh.
She had a bitch I'm not playing vibe, very much so.
But no, that's what makes me so mad about this in terms of like picking and choosing when you let money take a precedent. Because I feel like guns always win as a moral thing because it matches up with the money. Like they get enough money to support it that it's like, okay, but this is a moral conflict where the money still won't win because you're so convinced that this plant that comes out of the ground that we have proved helps babies with seizures is the true enemy. It's like, why would this be the choice you made over money when like a thing that actively kills kids.
Right.
What? You know what I mean?
It's, like, because it's all disingenuous. Because if they really were, if they really did believe that weed was this devil plant, they'd be A, the biggest nerds ever, and I'd love to bully them. And B, but they don't believe that. They just have to, you know, they have to fall in line with what they're supposed to be voting for and stuff. And it's to the fault. Like people, they're always, you know, oh, we're always working against our own best self-interest, like the best thing that could happen for us just because we feel obligated to.
Right. It's like this one is bad and gives you money and you will fight it until you actually get killed with one yourself.
Yeah.
And then this thing helps people and gives you money. But you're like, no,
it's got to be really tough to justify existing when you live like that.
All right. Let's talk about another drug story.
Yeah.
This one local, baby. Happening right here in L.A. Riders are abandoning the L.A. metro system, mostly because they don't want to watch people die. Because people are dying in fucking droves on L.A. metro system buses and trains. And it's mostly drug overdoses.
Yeah.
And if you think I'm exaggerating when I say that people are dying in droves, since January, there have been 22 deaths on LA Metro trains and buses. That is like two people a week.
It's only March. Yeah.
Yeah. That is not the fucking lottery you want to win on your morning commute.
Yeah. My friend absolutely saw someone doing intravenous drugs like on the bus at like nine a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like 9 a.m.
We'll link to this story in the show notes. It's on the LA Times. It's super long and it's horrifying. Like there's so many pictures of people just like smoking fentanyl on a train. Fucking injecting drugs on a bus. And like they have quotes from drivers who are like, I've never seen anything like this in my life.
Oh my gosh. It's terrifying. I didn't think about the drivers. What are the drivers supposed to do? Especially if you're underground and like if someone's actively ODing.
They're like, yeah, like just say no from the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Like they don't have one of those Pulp Fiction needles in the first aid kit, do they?
Probably not.
Oh, like Narcon or something?
Yeah.
And even if, like, let them fucking drive the train.
Oh, yeah. Like well, no, they are not trained to do that, but, like,
it's the same thing as when...
Are we supposed to have, like, a first aid person? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, you gotta have, like, a ground marshal.
Like, someone's ODing. Here's the thing. There's no one around,
right? Here's the thing. They have that. That was one of the solutions. They've started putting... safety ambassadors on the trains who just ride.
Or just like what? Social workers, mobile.
They're just
style?
Like spies. And like, yeah, if you're dying, they'll, you know, call the authorities. But also if you're breaking the law, they're going to fucking call the cops.
Oh, yeah.
Crime is also a huge issue, if you can believe it. Serious crimes like robbery, rape, and aggravated assault on LA Metro trains and buses jumped by 24% last year. This is one of the quotes from a train operator who did not want to be named because he's not authorized to talk to the media. We don't even see any business people anymore. We don't see anybody going to Universal. It's just people who have no other choice than to ride the system. Uh-huh. Homeless people and drug users. And the LA Metro system was already underused before this.
Yeah.
But things have gotten a lot worse in recent years. Ridership on the Gold Line is down 30%. Red Line is down 56%.
Wow.
And the worst section of the LA Metro system, apparently, is the MacArthur Park train station.
No shit. Yeah.
Which stands to reason.
I've always been discouraged from taking mass transit in LA.
I would I know MacArthur Park's fucked up, but I would love to throw an honorable mention at the North Hollywood Red Line Orange Line station. That is also.
It is. I've been there a lot.
it's very, because like, I'm never like, you know, so I'm not one to be like, oh my God, look how bad this neighborhood is. There's so many homeless like losers here. But like, you go by that area and it is basically a free zone. Like cops drive by and don't do anything. Like they're just like cruising through.
As someone who walks that area frequently to go other places, you definitely keep your head on a swivel like a little bit more when you pass there.
Yeah, my favorite coffee place used to be right there. And it was always very weird to see, because they also throw like the most fucking bougie ass farmer's market over there.
Oh yeah. And it's then like right near, next like, to the it. Art district of NoHo, which is like, you know, a little cross street of restaurants, Magnolia, and things. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's one of the things about that area in like downtown LA. Downtown LA, I mention this all the time, one of the only spots in the country where gentrification caused crime to go up.
Yeah.
Because they didn't do anything about like the surrounding areas. And so all gentrifying downtown LA did was put a whole bunch of rich targets right in the middle of like the most impoverished part of LA.
Like literally places that I could never afford to live. They just plop down in front of a mic that women will not go to.
Are you talking about the Lexington?
Yes.
Yeah, the Lexington.
And they, like the block over from the Lexington is gorgeous now.
There's a Ritz-Carlton right there. There's a Ritz-Carlton. And then it becomes actual Skid Row.
It's so nuts. It's like I just paid a woman a granola bar to watch my car. And this guy, what? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. And people who don't live in LA might hear MacArthur Park. And like, that's a famous name. Mm-hmm. And you're probably picturing, oh, a park in LA. I bet that's nice. You will die at MacArthur Park. It is horrifying. And you hear the term open air drug market. And it's the kind of thing you think doesn't really exist. because the police suck. And you think, given any opportunity to bust some heads, they're going to go in and do it. But nope, not always. I mean, the police still suck, but yeah. A place
it's like The Wire, they kind of let it happen.
Yeah, MacArthur Park is basically Amsterdam on The Wire, where the police just let people sell drugs. Because
I was about to say, I never really see them in the area, like cop cars. Like, I'm sure they have to drive through there, but like when it's just vendors and like the park happening during the day, it's like, do they even go there?
No. It's kind of a smart approach, because then it keeps all of that activity in one area instead of forcing people. Like, that's how it worked on The Wire. They set up this one area where anyone could sell drugs. And if you're selling drugs anywhere else, they would arrest you immediately. The Wire, famous documentary about Baltimore.
I just Googled MacArthur Park Red Line Station, and Google's like, did you mean MacArthur Park Red Line Station stabbing?
Oh, my goodness. Just finishing the worst sentence.
Yeah, I was like, no, but I guess. I don't know.
I am now.
Yeah, Jesus.
Well, that's the thing. At the MacArthur Park station, between November and January, 28 medical emergencies, most of them being suspected drug overdoses. Mm. Also in 2022, 6 deaths and 1 shooting. In early 2023, a man was stabbed in one of the breezeways of the MacArthur Park station.
Jeez.
So it's a legitimately dangerous place to fucking commute to work from.
Right.
And so people are just not doing it.
Right. So it's not worth it.
Now LA's public transit system, which already sucked.
It's really bad.
It's notoriously inadequate. And now it's like just an extension of the homelessness crisis in LA, because now it's just where homeless people live, which is fucking awful.
Mostly
for them.
Yeah.
It's a thing of like, it's like, what do you call it? Like, when you like put oil in water and it separates, it's like, we're like, don't fuck with it. We like push them underground almost, because we give them nowhere. We won't let them sit on benches. We put spikes on the benches,
right?
Put fucking, I don't know, 7-Eleven's blasting classical music so no one panhandles. And they're like, all right, well, now we're on this thing. And so I was going to ask earlier, I was like, why do you guys think these people are gravitating towards the metro to do drugs? I'm like, oh, because that's like the only place where they're not going to get like fucking attacked for existing.
Yeah
pretty much. Like, we're basically building the beginning of the documentary of those people that live in the old subway system in New York.
Yeah,
that old black and white one.
Right
That's what it'll turn into.
I honestly feel like if the purge or something similar ever actually happens in this country, it will 100% start in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
Because LA and California in general, I have a bit that I do on stage about this. Like, LA is like, people consider California this like bastion of liberalism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking not.
It's not.
Like, it's a long state. There's a lot of people here. Like, I can drive an hour and get called a slur if I'm feeling homesick.
Yeah, you go
to Ventura.
Yeah, like LA and San Francisco are relatively liberal, but once you get outside of that, it's a fucking crapshoot.
But you have to go through a lot of other places. You have to go through like Bakersfield.
From Sacramento. The capital is racist.
Oh, see, I haven't heard about that. And I love Fresno, but I've also like had friends, you know, be like, oh, can I go to that pizza place? And they're like, I don't think you should go to that pizza place.
I remember I was doing a show in Fresno once, and these two ladies, they were Latino ladies, and they were like leaving the show. They said, thank you, you're so funny. And I was like, you guys are leaving already? Let's get a drink. They're like, no, you don't really want to be looking like us and drive around too late in this city.
Wow.
I was like, oh, okay.
Mm.
Yeah. And people discount how many like seemingly right-wing policy ideas started in California, especially deinstitutionalization, which was where we decided, oh, we don't need mental health facilities for people. Right. Like, we can just shut those down and let the community deal with it.
Oh, yeah, that was Reagan, right?
I was about to say, and what Reagan was like, sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, Reagan started that as governor of California.
Love it.
And then he took it national when he became president. So Reagan essentially started the homelessness crisis in this country.
Yeah.
And there's so many things that like started in California, like fucking Jonestown started in California. And that despite
went international.
Yeah, it went international. And it's another thing that it's almost like California in that if you still to this day read about Jonestown, people are like, Jim Jones was a racial progressive. No, he wasn't.
He stole like a rhetoric, or not a rhetoric, a cadence from black reverends.
Yes.
And used it in their own communities against him.
Like, he did.
He was an insane narcissist in that he loved everyone who loved him and didn't care what color they were. Like, he didn't actually love anyone. I don't know if he did.
And if you really look into Jonestown, the black people there were slaves.
Like, I mean, who wasn't? A lot of them were. Everybody was.
Everybody was. But it was insane. It was mostly like the residents of Jonestown were mostly black people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the way he was able to recruit, he didn't go out into communities. He managed to get, I'm sure through no government intervention at all, managed to get People's Temple members employed at welfare offices. And they were welfare offices in black communities. And that's where they recruited people. Mm-hmm. And at the time all the shit went down at Jonestown, he was collecting something like $20,000 a month just in welfare money
and that was checks.
Supposed to go to the people at Jonestown because they would get them in this room and be like, look, the United States fucking sucks, right? Like, wouldn't you rather just go live somewhere where everything's paid for? You just give us... You give us your check every month and we'll take care of everything. And then those people got there and they took their passports and made them literal slaves.
It was like Firefest.
A little bit. Yeah.
That's a stretch. I know that's a
little bit like Firefest. More like Fired At Fest, because a lot of people who died were shot.
It's like if Fire Fest, that they showed up and they made them build the stages that weren't
and
there.
Make the cheese sandwiches.
With a constant microphone of that guy being like, this is going to be the best festival ever, 24 hours a day,
Who was the 70s version of Ja Rule?
Wow. That's a good question.
It's like,
who were the Ja Rule and Ashanti of the 70s?
Nelly Mel?
It's like Peaches and Herb supported Jonestown somehow.
But they didn't know what they were getting into. They were way over their head.
You leave them out of this.
LA is where, like, people outside the community, outside the city, don't see it. But, like, if you watch local news in L.A., people are getting heated about homeless encampments.
Oh, I mean, our new fucking mayor sure is doing nothing to help out at all.
I mean, she's fucking bulldozing homeless encampments.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And it's like, we talked not too long ago about a law that passed where now you're not allowed to be homeless within like 500 feet of a school. So now homeless people are on the same level as like pedophiles and drug dealers in terms of
you gotta go door to door and announce yourself as homeless.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, my name's Rick. I'm gonna be sleeping.
Name's Rick. I don't have one of these.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like knocking on the door, being like, must be nice.
I just want to let you know that I don't have one. And
if you have any issues, just tap my flap, I guess.
Yeah. No, just call the cops on me. Call the cops on me and let me just get whisked away in the night.
Yeah. If you're going to burn my home down, could you just let me know so I can get my medication out of there first?
Oh, my God. You're going to
throw my tent in the river?
Just let my daughter.
Because there's like they're saying, like, I remember the last time I was reading about this because of what Karen Bass and company are doing. Someone's like, hey, where are all the people that you just displaced? We don't know. There's like 200 people in Santa Monica that got just relocated somewhere and nobody knows where they are. It's really unsettling bullshit.
Yeah. Sure, well, that's like, we'll have little ones that they move here in the valley and people will be like, oh yeah, cause you couldn't even move on that sidewalk anymore or whatever. And it's like, okay, I probably walk that sidewalk more than you. I go through the parking lot, like whatever, it's fine. They also block that sidewalk for a taco stand for the entire length of the weekend and no one cares. But I thought the same thing. I was like, okay, so those people lived there for like at least a summer. Where did they go?
Yeah.
Because they can't get anywhere quickly. And I haven't seen anyone walking around with a bunch of stuff. So, like, where did they go?
Yeah. Are they just dead?
Yeah. So, yeah, this is where the purge will happen first. All right. Let's talk about one last drug story. This is nuts. There's this R&B singer named Billy Caldwell. I've always been a big fan of that one song of his with the horns.
He's got a couple.
He's got some bangers. He wrote some songs that people would know. But he's got a song called What You Won't Do for Love that is...
Good song.
Woo! It is so good. It has the horn riff of the fucking millennium.
It does.
It is so good. And he died recently. He was 71, so not a huge shock. But the way he died is pretty alarming. It is something I've never heard of. He died from being floxed.
Which is not a TikTok dance.
It's not a TikTok dance. And it surprisingly is not a thing a person does to you. Because I was like, floxed. Yeah. Did someone shoot a fucking dart into his neck? What happened?
I thought it was like when they swat you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like swatting. It sounds like swatting.
Or like a more extreme version of doxing.
Exactly.
Like doxing that ends in murder.
They dox you and someone fucks you. It's like, whoa.
You get doxed in Florida.
And as it turns out, there's a whole class of antibiotics called fluoroquinolones that in rare cases can cause a whole host of very gnarly complications. Among the possible side effects, tendonitis that sometimes leads to ruptured tendons.
Eesh.
Headaches and rashes, aortic aneurysms, neuropathy, high blood sugar, and anxiety. But on the bright side, the antibiotics in question are among the most widely prescribed in the United States. They are frequently used to treat sinusitis, bronchitis, urinary tract infections, pneumonia, gastritis, and diverticulitis. So I had a stomach thing last year, and I took these antibiotics for it, not knowing that they have these possible side effects. And I don't think we should stop using them. Like, they do treat a lot of things, but I did not know I was running the risk of being floxed.
Yeah.
By taking them. And that term describes a person who has suffered mitochondrial damage and oxidative stress due to an adverse effect from a fluoroquinolone antibiotic. And what's crazy about it is if you have this reaction to these antibiotics, it seems like there's not a lot that they can do about it.
Great.
Yeah, because wait, that last thing you said sounded like some magic school bus shit. Like,
yeah.
What is the mitochondria doing and it can't get oxygen? Anytime you start talking about oxidating, I'm like, we need that for sure. That seems important. I know I need my shit to be oxidated.
So. Oxy, I know this. I can break this down to the Latin. Hold on. Oxy, good.
Vital to life in humans.
And the big problem with this, for one thing, you might wonder, well, why did we even approve these antibiotics for use if they cause these side effects? The actual good news is that it's so rare that the first case of this happening didn't happen until like 30 years after these antibiotics were on the market and in use. So it's not a common thing. But when it happens, fucking buckle up.
But Bobby got God.
Yeah. In Billy Caldwell's case.
Bobby.
Is it Bobby?
Uh-huh. I think so.
I think it's Billy.
It's Bobby.
Oh, is it Bobby?
It is Bobby.
God damn it.
Who's this fucking Billy guy? Why are we even talking about him? Because of shit about Billy Caldwell.
So now this whole segment is going to have me saying Bobby in a Bobby. Robot voice. You have to
edit that in. Oh, did write Bobby at the end, though.
I'm going to control F, replace my own voice, use AI to do it. Bobby Caldwell. So what happened to Bobby, he was prescribed these antibiotics 6 years ago. And had the adverse reaction almost immediately, and that adverse reaction was his fucking Achilles tendon ruptured.
Which sounds so awful.
They did him like Pet Cemetery.
Yeah. That's what I thought of immediately. I was like, Bobby, no!
Bobby Dumbo.
He needs that.
The antibiotics are under the bed hiding with a little knife.
Oh my gosh.
And from there, it just caused a bunch of nerve damage and other complications.
Oh, so this was like a decline from that?
This is a quote from his wife, who is also named Billy. Just joking. Her name's Mary Caldwell. Bobby passed away here at home. I held him tight in my arms as he left us. I am forever heartbroken. Thanks to all of you for your many prayers over the years. He had been floxed. It took his health over the last 6 years and 2 months. Rest with God, my love. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
And it seems like one of the problems when this happens is, like, you'll have that thing where you get tendonitis, maybe a tendon ruptures. But then the other side effects don't start until you've, like, quit taking the antibiotics a long time ago.
It's too late.
So at first the doctors are like, I don't know what the fuck's happening. And then eventually they're able to tie it back to these antibiotics. But by then, you're fucked.
Well, because what exactly, do the complications just exacerbate, or did it, like, what does it do to your mitochondria? Like, what actually?
Well, again, some of the different side effects it causes just,
oh, well, like compound
it,
or
like
whatever.
Snowballs into just suffering, I guess.
Poor Bobby.
Yeah, that's a shitty way. Because
to end the episode.
No, well, the first thing I was going to say when you said, like, oh, this might surprise you, I was like, no, I'm not surprised, because I've watched a commercial for a medication. Like,
yeah,
right.
The whole back half of a woman happily, like, finally being able to go to lunch without shitting herself is a bunch of side effects like this that everyone thinks isn't going to be them.
Have clearer skin, but also you might be shitting blood or pissing out kidney stones.
In between ideations of suicide.
And
you might want to kill yourself while on the toilet.
If the side effects don't get you, your own brain will.
I'm shit. I can't stop shitting.
I'm in this steak and lube and I am furious.
Those are my favorite medication commercials. Are like
a beautiful, clear-skinned man shot an 83-year-old.
Some wrinkly fucking old man with no clear skin.
Those are my favorite medication commercials. The, like, chronic bowel disease ones where it's just family members mean mugging mom because she has to shit too much. Fucking podcast
co-host. Mom, you're ruining
co-hosts.
My life.
Podcast co-host fucking at odds because one of them can't eat a burger.
Which is, it's so funny because it's like, I had parents miss stuff like that just because they were busy.
Yeah.
And you're mad at your mom because she's fighting a chronic disease at your ballet recital. Like,
my mom shits too much and it's ruining my popularity at middle school.
That is what all those commercials are. Just kids looking sad because dad can't stop shitting.
And all the parents in those commercials have the self-esteem of Brendan Fraser in The Whale, where they're just like, I'm a piece of shit. I suck. I'm sick.
They're all being scored with dramatic violins the whole time. Anytime they do anything. Oh my God. Isn't it so terrible to be a fat shitting bastard?
Like, it's not your fault. Those commercials also make me cry sometimes, even though they're not well written.
The pizza guy comes in and Brendan Fraser just shitting everywhere.
And then the medication works and they're like, things are getting clearer.
I can spin my daughter again.
Stop.
All right.
Up, Bobby. Up.
What's everyone's favorite version of the Sky Rizzy tune? Come on.
What?
I like the R&B one. Sky Rizzy. It's this drug that is either it's for both eczema and Crohn's disease somehow.
It's called Guy Rizzy.
Sky Rizzy.
Oh, okay. That sounds like a rapper.
And they have the catchiest theme song, and it comes in like a Latin version. There's a country version. There's like an R&B version, which obviously
McDonald's
depends.
Did.
Yeah, it depends on the nationality of the person in the commercial.
Right.
I'm looking it up right now. Sky Rizzy commercial. Oh, there's a lot of, there's some bops here.
There's a bunch of them. Yeah, yeah. And they,
I think I found the urban one. You know how they got to have an urban one.
They do. They do.
That should be the next TikTok dance. That's going to be what the actual TikTok dance is that like merges the two.
Okay. No joke. This sounds like the theme song to Living Single.
I'm so mad.
What if it is? It's like a cover of the Living Single.
Yvette, sue these people. Oh my God. She just won an award for that show.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, that's an upbeat way to end this episode. Rest in peace, Bobby Caldwell.
Yeah, we love Bobby. You. Sounds like thank the last... you to what Kev on stage called our blue-eyed soul brother. Because he died and a bunch of black people, including the beloved Cheryl Lee Ralph, were like, Bobby was black or white. Like, no one knew Bobby Caldwell was white. They were like, we thought he was black the whole time.
The blue-eyed soul brother.
So they were like, we love you, but also what? People just like learning about their favorite artist as he passes. But yeah, we love you, Bobby.
That
we
song you, does Bobby. Fucking slap. God damn, yeah. It's so good.
And Billy Caldwell, if you're out there, call in.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe he's got like, maybe it's like a Gallagher 2 situation. And I've just seen like Billy Caldwell playing casinos or something. I don't know.
A classic Gallagher 2 situation.
So I think that's our episode.
We did it.
We did it.
Yay.
We made it to the end. Thank you both so much.
This Thank you.
This was of a fun course. Episode. This was super fun.
What do we have to plug before we get out of here? I would like to plug adamtodbrown.substack.com, which I will be back to now that my face pain is somewhat subsiding. I know you're like, well, why couldn't you write if your face hurt? Because I can't think about anything but my face hurting. Also, I'm doing a show the week this comes out, March 22nd. I will be in Huntington Beach at the Hemperer's Comedy Show at, you know, some location. Just come to Huntington Beach and follow my scent.
Yeah, follow the stank.
You'll find me. And that's all I got. Katrina, what do you got to plug?
Let me see what I have going on. You can follow me. Hi, I'm Katrina. I tell jokes. But if you liked my interjections, you can follow me at Katrina Savad. It's Katrina like the hurricane and S-I-V-A-D. It's just Davis backwards. And on March 22nd, I'll be at the Rainbow Room. But if you follow me there, I'll post all of the shows that I do.
Yeah. Kevin.
Oh, you can follow me at KB Anderson Yo and all the things. You just missed Avatar 2 Escape from Guantanamo Bay. But next month on April 15th, we've got Avatar 2 Annihilation. It is a Mortal Kombat themed stand-up show
at yes! the Midnight
in North Hollywood. Scorpion will be there. And a lot of funny comics, and that's going to be great. So that's April 15th at the Goodnight in North Hollywood. And yeah, just Twitter for other stuff.
All right, let's get out of here. Katrina, say goodbye.
Bye, thank you.
Kevin, say goodbye.
Hey, goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Rest in peace, Bobby and Billy Caldwell, both.
Search to find the love within. I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let go. My friends wonder what is wrong with me. Well, I'm in a daze from your love, you see.